How are you?
All right.
I'll get your blood pumping.
Yeah.
You know, this life, the Lord's just getting us ready to spend forever with Him. Isn't that wonderful? So good to see you today. We welcome you today. If this is your first time with us today, we're glad to have you. Glad to have Kenny Rhett with us, back from old Baptist Center days, his mom. Welcome to y'all today. Lord bless you today. We go way, 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 way back. And God bless you. And Miss Carolyn, how much more time do you have in Savannah?
Midweek.
So we need to be praying against that, right? It has to be 6 months here, maybe 9 months here, and then you can go up there and see all those sisters you have. We welcome you today. In your bulletin today, you have this yellow card. If you change your email address this week, put that on there. We'll do our best, do our due diligence to try to get through all the quirks of software. But let us know if you're not getting, if you suddenly don't are not getting one of our emails or something, let us know. We have all sorts of challenges there. July the 12th, we're going to back to do our medical mission in McRae. I'm trying to get all this down. Too many things I'm trying to think about. If you would like to join us, you need to see Regina or the High Chief or me afterwards today. And we particularly need people who speak Spanish. How many of you do have some skills with, and I'm not talking about nunchuck skills, I'm talking about all the people over here knew what I was talking about. I'm talking about Spanish. How many of you do speak a little Spanish? Okay. I mean more than the muy poquito kind of thing. Okay. We could sure use you there. It's July the 12th. It'll be for the day. We'll leave early in the morning and go and do a medical clinic there. They'll be bringing in people from all over the county. They'll come in for medical treatment there, and we'll be able to share the gospel with them while they're there. But we need people who speak Spanish and who have some medical skills and qualification also. So me, Regina, or the High Chief afterwards today. Also today, the Lost and Found for Camp is back in the fellowship hall. And there's a pile of stuff like this, of just regular stuff, and then there's a pile about this high of boys' underwear. And because let me tell you what they do at camp. As soon as they get to camp on Sunday afternoon, they dump all their clothes on the floor in the boys' cabin, and then they just pull something out during the week. That's how that happens. Yeah, Audrey's already been back there because she's got one of the towels that he left. Oh, Mom, I'm going to take care of it this time. Operative word there this time. Glad you're here. Jan, you're having a birthday tomorrow, right? Jan's going to be 48 tomorrow. And so she married an old man. But he is the king. They're packing his head with that. If you're a guest today, we would, we're normally not like this. We would love for you to fill out this card and put it in the basket later on if you have a prayer request. So glad you're here today. Let's pray together, and then we'll greet one another. Thank you, Lord, for a beautiful, beautiful day. Lord, summer is here, officially, this weekend. And I thank you for all the reminders. Lord, we live in a beautiful city and the flowers and all the greenery. Lord, we thank you for the rain we've had this spring and just all the ways in which you have blessed us. We are blessed people here. Lord, today we give you honor and praise and glory for all that you're doing in our lives. Come, Lord, come. Come in this room here today and speak to us. May we feel the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Come and move in us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you went to camp for the whole week, you're there. Would you stand up, please? Stand up. Everybody. All right. Okay, y'all can be seated. And then those of you who came up, maybe you weren't there the whole week, but you came up for family night or for something like that, will y'all stand up? Oh, boy, still got none. Okay. I don't know. As we talked to camp director, I don't think they have a bigger event that takes place at that camp the whole year. And we'll come back to them, I promise you. I promise you. If the Lord touched you in a particular way, just a sentence. This is how what the Lord did in my life at camp this week. Would you stand up and just come on? Say it.
Oh.
Hey, Will, put your arm up Scotty's back and talk for him. Amen. It's prayed over. And it really is retreating, going off, so you can hear from God to be renewed, and for some to have a first-time experience with Jesus. And then for many to be renewed, to bring us back into the world, to live out the life of Christ that he's called us to be and to do. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. And thank you, all of you who gave your time. Kiddos, you put aside the time so you go hear from the Lord. We had a very cooperative group this year. And thank God we didn't make a single trip to the hospital. And you remember this time last year, we were fighting a virus that just swept through. And the Lord protected us from all of that. And but those of you adults who gave up a week of vacation, it cost you money and time and a lot to be there. But oh, the reward for that, the eternal reward. All right, kiddos, come on. Yes, sir. Hey, David. Hey, man. Good to see you. David, you want to tell them the deal you and I have made at camp? Do you remember the deal we made? You don't remember? If you shave your head, I'll shave mine.
Oh, no.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I couldn't do it. Oh!
Well, then Brother Dusty might get in trouble.
Mother Palace.
Yeah. All right, let me turn around so you can get the other side now. Okay, kids. All right. I want to tell you a story. We've been talking about hearing from the Lord. Way back, there's this fella who changed names. God changed his name. In fact, changed his name, changed his wife's name. I'll read you this story and then tell you a couple of things about him. His name was Abram. Later, he became Abraham. Okay? 12th chapter of of the book of Genesis. It says there, "And now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land that I'll show you, and I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, so you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Now, have y'all heard that story before?
No.
All right. Abraham was the father of the Jews. And it was through Abraham that a blessing was going to come to the whole earth. Does anybody know what that blessing was? That's right. Say it out. Say it right in my microphone.
Jesus.
That's right. It was through that bloodline, Jesus was going to be born. But look where Abram is. He lives in a city called Ur. They move up to a city on the Fertile Crescent called Haran. And then God tells him, God had begun to speak at him very early, saying, go. What if he had not been obedient to do what God said?
Then he'll get hurt. Or happen.
Well, thank God we don't have to even think about that because he was obedient. He did exactly what God told him to do. And God had begun to speak to him as a very young man. And finally, he leaves everything. And he goes to this new land, this land where now is the nation of Israel. And everybody in the world was blessed because of his obedience, because Jesus came through him. When God speaks to you, you need to be obedient. Let's pray. Lord, for these children, I pray for their obedience to you. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to their hearts. May they hear and understand and know that it's you that's speaking, that none is too young, none is too old to hear the voice of God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Are you ready? Well, I release them to you. He's already shaved his head. Love you, man. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 16? It'd be an interesting thing to go on the internet and pose the question, who is Jesus? And see all the answers you'd get. What's some of the answers you think you'd get? Who is Jesus? A man. A wise man. A prophet. All-around good guy. A story. Religious leader. A fairy tale. A myth. There'd be some that would say that Jesus is head of a group of oppressors. Who is Jesus? Who is he in the world? And even when you say his name, what does that drag up in people? What do they think about? Who have we made Jesus to be? Let me ask you this question. Are there people who say his name today and say they represent him that really he has nothing to do with? You better believe it. There are whole churches, groups that have just sold out to the world. Jesus has nothing to do with them. Yet they carry his name, supposedly. Like the fellow I illustrated a couple of weeks ago who was just going to add Jesus to his pantheon of gods in which he believed. Now, in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in verse 13, is a powerful statement here. Let me read this story to you. Now, when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, stop there for just a moment. Jesus' primary method of teaching was what? The question. The question. Why did he ask questions, do you think? Because when you're asked a question, you've got to think about how that relates to you. And instead of looking out here, you've got to look in here. So that's what I'm encouraging you to do as we read this today. I'm encouraging you, it'd be very easy to mail it in right now and say, well, this is just religious stuff, or I'm at church, you know, tick, 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 it'll be over with and gone. But I'm asking you to ask yourself the question, who is Jesus? So he asked his disciples a question. He says, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, boy, what a loaded question. Who do people say that I am? Now, he identifies himself with that term, that phrase, that name, the Son of Man. Because he's, and again, as you know, we can talk about this on another day and spend hours talking about it. But Son of Man indicates his identity, the fact that the Son of God did step into flesh and became a man. But he's both Son of God, he's all God and all man at the same time. So he poses the question to them, what do you hear? What's out on the street? Teenagers, sit here. The people in your life, who do they say Jesus is? Really? What do they think of him? And they said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Well, that's an easy one. Why would they say that he is John the Baptist? Well, John the Baptist had made a name for himself, right? What did he come doing? Well, first of all, he's this standout kind of guy. Because what's he wearing? Burlap. Yeah, that's what he wore in all the plays, the church play. You know, the skins, you know, he's not dressed. This is not, someone stepping off of Fifth Avenue. This is not a fashion play. This guy who by his very dress stands out in the crowd. But not only that, what does he eat? Locusts and wild honey. Now, would that set him apart? Yes, sir. That's right. So, some say that's who you are. Others say Elijah. Now we got to go back hundreds of years. Remember Elijah? Up on Mount Carmel, prophet of God, prophets of Baal, showdown, fire comes down, consumes the sacrifice. He's in this running gun battle with Ahab and Jezebel, evil Jezebel that is after him, his entire public ministry. Some say you're this guy. Others say that you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. The weeping prophet, Jeremiah, that's his name. And you can see a little bit of Jesus in all of these prophets, can't you? And the list goes on. But this is just the setup. Look at the rest of it. Then he says to them, but who do you say that I am? We go from the example of all out here to then all the guns on ourselves. Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus to you? And Simon Peter then answered, is this unusual that Simon Peter would speak up? Of course not. Simon Peter is the loudmouth. Simon Peter is the one who is ready, fire, aim. That's his motto. Because whatever came up, came out. But in this case, it's good. He says, you are. Now, in Greek, you don't get the full impact of what he's saying here. And by the way, he's probably speaking it in Greek at the time. Might have been Aramaic, but what we have, it's written in Greek. But let me tell you what it meant in Hebrew. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What does he mean by that? What does that mean? Well, the Christ is the Greek way of saying the Messiah, the anointed one. You are Mashiach. That's who you are. You are the one we've been waiting on. Now, if any other Jews are listening to this at this time, and Peter says that out loud, what does that make Peter? He's a heretic because he's ascribing deity. He is ascribing to this Yeshua that he is the Messiah. So this is an outstanding statement. I mean, this is throwing raw meat out there. This is, you know, the fire has started and you've got a 5-gallon can of gasoline. Woof, that you're about to throw, which is what he does. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. You are the Son of Yahweh, the Lord over all, the great I am. You're the, and essentially in this, in one name, he packages all the prophecy that goes before, the whole Old Testament. All that was looking forward to the coming of Jesus. In that one statement, he said, here it is. You're it. You're it. And Jesus says to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. What did we talk to the kids about this morning? About listening to God, doing what God says, being obedient. Simon Peter was obedient. He heard from the Lord that day and he spoke it. And then he makes a statement. He says, I also say to you that you are Peter, you are Petras, and on this rock, this Petra, he's doing, and the reason why I know that when he was speaking this, he was speaking it in Greek, it's because of the play on words in this phrase. Because it's a play on words in Greek. You are Petras, and on this Petra, I will build my church. His name means, Peter, means rock. But uses a different form of, you're Peter, you're the rock, and on this rock, I will build my church. Now, what's he talking about? What's he talking about? Now, there are a number of people on the earth that think that this means Peter was the first pope. That's not what that says. You miss the whole meaning of it. Because the whole meaning was what? That statement that he made. That statement You are the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, the Son of the living God. This is the rock he's talking about. It's the rock of faith. This is the rock of trust. And it is on this that I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So, here is the doorway access to the Lord himself that here Jesus uses this example to show them not only who he is, but how we gain access to him forever. And it's by faith. The statement of faith, it is the doorway through which we come to the Lord. It's great to know all this stuff, but just like Jesus took all that knowledge, you know, this is what everybody's saying about you, Jesus. But then he comes with a personal question. But who do you say that I am? And you see, that's what faith is. It's a personal question. God has no grandchildren. Did you know that? He has no children that he gets by osmosis. My brother asked me not long ago, we were talking old times, and he says, yes, I remember how you used to study. We had bunk beds, but my mom never would put them on top of each other. She was afraid we'd fly out of them, and we would have. And so she had them side by side with a little dresser in between. I would lay in the bed on my stomach. I had a nightlight, and I'd open a book and put it on the floor and read it. I'd many nights go to bed studying. He said, but sometimes, Dusty, you would move that book and you would have it up in the bed with you. I said, that's right. When my eyesight got a little dim as the evening went on a little bit later, and I couldn't read it very well. He said, and many times I'd wake during the night and your nose would be in the book and you would be sound asleep. And he said, how much of that knowledge out of that book got into your head during the night? Many of us feel that a relationship with God can be like that. It'll just magically come. But here's the doorway on this rock. The rock of your faith. I'll build my church. That, and who is the church? We're the church. We're the living, breathing body of Jesus. If we took, you know, this building burns down, we decide to go out to Oglethorpe Mall Food Court and assemble there. We'd be the body. We'd be the church there, wouldn't we? Go out on the front lawn, we'd be the church there. We'd go to Gulfstream, we'd be the church there. Because we're the living, breathing body of Jesus. Who is Jesus to you? Is he your Savior? Have you come to that personal place in your life where you've said no to yourself, you turn from your sin and turn to Jesus by faith? Giving him your life. Let me give you some other things about the identity of Jesus. He's not only our Savior, he's our Lord. He wants to show us how to live. Show us what decisions to make. When you come to the crossroads, which way do you go? How many crossroads do you have in life? You know, we tend to think of this group of people right over here as the only ones who have crossroads. And by the way, y'all have a lot of crossroads, a lot of decisions. People come up to you regularly and say, so what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Right? Right, Molly? Yeah. It's like you've got it all planned out. Ding, 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 ding. Here's the list. Here's how you can pray for me. You know, come November 30th, this is what I'll be doing. And you can pray for me on that day. But how about the rest of us? Did the rest of you have any forks in the road this week? Did you need someone who has a different view of the road than you do? You know, I have this view of the road. Ooh, all I see is that couple of hundred yards of pavement going one way or the other. Which way do I go? But isn't it wonderful when someone can look down? Because that's what a map is. Where you can look down and you can see the whole thing. But you see, God not only sees what's going on now. Listen to me. Catch this. He sees everything in the future. Because He's not bound by time. He created time. Who's Jesus? Who's Jesus? Savior? Lord? Healer? Can Jesus heal? How many of you have experienced the physical healing of Jesus in your life? Would you put your hand up? You know when people prayed over you, laid hands on you, prayed for you at a distance, that healing came. That's a blessing from God. What does He say about things like that? He says, you have not because you ask not. We need to ask. Does that mean that we're going to manipulate God into something, trap Him into something? No. His healing, every time He does the healing, you know why He does the healing? For His glory, not ours. Who is Jesus? He's healer. He's deliverer. He said He'll set captives free. He'll set you free from your past. That's right. Anybody been set free from your past? Things you wish you had never done, and yet that there they are, staring you in the face. And what does the evil one do with information like that? He dangles it. And he says, here, you can't serve Jesus. Look at who you were. But when he does that, you know what we need to do? We need to show him the shed blood of Jesus on the cross, and the empty tomb 3 days later, and say, there my deliverance was purchased. He does put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Who's Jesus? He's encourager. How many of you has Jesus encouraged this week? When you get low, when you've got to look up to see the bottom of the pavement, have you been there recently? Have circumstances overcome you? Has the shadow of the stuff in life and the stuff in other people's life that you love dearly, has it just overcome you at times and you said, I just can't stand it anymore? Who's going to be there to help you? Who's going to be there to shine the light and lift the discouragement? The great encourager, Jesus. And He knows how to encourage you. He knows how to speak your language. Why not talk to Him during those times? Cry out to Him. It was great during the week at camp to hear children and youth cry out to Jesus. He's also the one that will be with you during your darkest times. When other people leave you, when other people quit believing in you, when other people don't understand you. Have you had times like that in your life when you feel like even those closest to you, you're trying to put it in words to make them understand, but you can't make them understand? Is that just me? Have you felt like that before? Where you wanted to put it, but He knows. Because He knows us and He loves us. That's what's kept some of you away from the Lord. You said, well, if Jesus knew all the stuff about me, wait a second. He's Jesus. He already knows. Tell Him all about it. And see, all we're doing when we're telling Him all about it is we're just coming in agreement with Him and we're acknowledging that He does know all our stuff. And He still loves us. He's the one that'll stand in the gap for you. He's the one that'll fill in the gap for you. He'll be there when no one else can be there. You know, as much as I want to be there with my children and I don't want my children to hurt and I want to stand in between them and the hurt that will come, I cannot be with them wherever they go. But who can? Jesus. So we pray. Any mamas here that have been praying this week? Huh? Interceding? You're praying. I called Clement Amati, Kendi's uncle, to let him know that my mother had died and that I was not going to be able to come to Nigeria at that time. He paused for a moment and then he said these words to me. He said, "Dusty, son, you're now a motherless child, you will have to depend upon Jesus." Whew. You'll have to depend upon Him. But you see, even back when my mama was praying for me, those times when I'd look back in the bedroom and I know she was with the Lord and she was praying, do you know those prayers did not have an expiration label on them? They were not limited by time. So the prayer she was praying then, even after her death, as she's gone on, click, click, March 2nd, absent from the body, present with the Lord, click, click, she's with Jesus, those prayers keep right on going. Even to right now. Who is Jesus? He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. Do you know Him? Let me tell you, He knows you. He sees through to your backbone. You can't hide anything from Him. And He still loves you. Today we're going to have a time of ministry and we're going to open the altar for you to come. If you'd like to come and pray, you can sit where you like, come up here and pray. God doesn't care how you genuflect. He's not into that. He's not so worried about the attitude of this as He is the attitude of this. What does that mean? Well, you know, some of us are flamboyant and we wave our hands and do all kind of stuff all the time. And some of us are quiet and reserved. But God's looking at our heart. Who is Jesus to you today? I'm going to be here and I'm going to ask our pastors to come. I'm going to ask our life group leaders to take their places around. If you'd like to come and pray, maybe this would be the first time you've ever even thought about receiving Jesus in your life. Or maybe you've been thinking about, you've been kicking the tires for a long time and you finally come to the place where you realize you need Jesus. I know right now there are people in this building that have never done that business with the Lord. I know God's spoken that to me in my heart. He's ready for you. It's not about religion and it's not about going to church and it's not about all those. Those are good things. But the most important thing is your relationship with Him. Now, secondly, some of us have known Jesus for a long time. Man, this week at camp, we saw the fire of the Holy Spirit burning brightly, revealing Jesus. I believe God started something. Let's let Him continue it here today. How about it? Is He Lord of your life? Like Josh McDowell used to say, Lord of all or not at all. The very name Lord connotes absolute authority. Does He have that kind of authority in your life? One of the gifts He gave you when He created you in His own image was the prerogative of choice. No one can choose for you. You choose. What about it? What's your choice today? And we're not asking for the Holy, give me more of the Holy Spirit. No! No. Let the Holy Spirit have more of me. How about it? Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for speaking to us today. I thank You for Your words, clear and plain, and Your Scripture, Lord. And right now, we open this ministry time and we say, come, Lord, come. Come with Your power and Your presence, Your love. I thank You today, Lord, for Your love, Your unconditional love. Thank You for the great things we've seen You do. But now, Lord, we're asking You to do more. Deeper. Wider. Longer. Come, Holy Spirit. The altar's open. Look this way, if you will. The picture I have is very fresh on my mind is at camp. We were not crying out to some generic Jesus, to some religious leader. We were crying out to the Son of God, to the crucified, risen, and coming again soon, Yeshua. I encourage you. Take Him with you by choice. Allow Him access. Look at me, eyeball to eyeball. God has given to many of you access to people, to businesses, to places. You go places. God wants to have access there. You are His conduit. I encourage you. Be the conduit. Be the person that God has called you to be. And let the joy flow through you. Let the blessing. He's chosen to bless you and not curse you. Why not receive the blessing? Where you are. What you're doing. Put a smile on some people's faces. It'll be tough in some places. And yeah, there are some places that people are going to make fun of you. Big deal. He's bigger than them. God will answer your prayers. Pray you'll go before Him. We'd like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, basket in the front up here, we'll receive those at this time.
Name of hope. Worthy of all praise, my heart will sing, how great is our God, how great is our God, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Name above all names, you are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. Name above all names, you are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing of how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. How great is our God. How great is our God. How great, how great.
Scotty. Did the Lord bless you at camp this week?
He did.
He did. And I want to make sure that they heard what your mother said, that you made it through the week and didn't have to call her this week.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, give me a wedgie before I leave. The Lord bless you. Our God is great. Sick 'em.